Item number four is an application for a zoning agreement amendment for land located at 45/55 Levesque Street under file ZAA 11 of 2008.
Now, who's the applicant? Would the applicant come down?
On his way. David Goyer, Architecture.
David Goyer. Now, this is a bizarre one, if I read the report correctly. David?
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
My name's David Goyer. I'm here on behalf of WRE Developments to try and appeal to a bit of common sense in terms of an odd condition that required us to place a fence 50 feet onto our own property and has left a bit of a no-man's land along the Dawson Road right-of-way.
Let me get this straight. You have to build a fence 50 feet?
Well, there was a number of negotiations that took place in order to put this development into fruition. Council, and I think Councillor Swandell sat at that council meeting, I'm not sure, in which it was decided that, in addition to some of the other requirements, the fence that we proposed to place along the property line, which borders the Dawson Road right-of-way, had to be placed, I believe, 42 feet into our own property. Subsequently, for some reason, it got drawn up or conceived of that it had to be 50 feet from that property.
It was built at 50, actually built at 50 feet instead of...
Well, we haven't built it yet. That's why we're here, I guess, is to see whether or not it really makes sense to build it 50 feet into our own property. The fence at 50 feet into our own property comes within 8 feet of the end of the two buildings that abut that end of the property. And the fence is required to be 12 feet high. So it presents a very odd occurrence on our property, leaves a 50-foot no-man's land between that fence and the actual right-of-way of Dawson Road. And then there's another 89 feet of width of the right-of-way that is right now empty before we abut the properties for the houses backing on to that situation.
Okay. Okay. Anything else?
Well, we have some photographs here of some of the landscaping that we're doing along the edge right now, and I can certainly share those with you.
Sure. And all the questions for anyone?
Yeah. This is the big apartment complex development, right, on the corner of Lajimodia and Fermor, or close to that corner, yeah. I think we all remember that community committee. That was a doozy to get going. I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, that the setback in the fence was at the request of the residents, if I'm not mistaken.
There's a representative there.
Okay. So I guess what I'm asking is has there been any discussions with the residents on this?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Discussion with the three representatives that were approved by you, Barry, Seminole, Ray Chase, and Norm.
Okay. Just tell me a little bit about those discussions before we bring him down.
Basically, we sat down with him and discussed it about a year ago, close to that, in the backyard, what we planned on doing. Yep. And we discussed it again. And asked them to bring it to, because they were represented, to the residents and back onto there and get their feedback.
Okay. Fair enough. The resident can speak for himself, and I take it was posted and all that stuff, so if people had the opportunity to come out, which is fine. But my recollection is correct, right? It was set back in the course of those meetings because that was part of the agreement of the resident.
I think the biggest, one of the reasons that it was set back, that I recall, was we didn't, at that time of that meeting, we didn't know where the property line was, whether it was right on Dawson Road,
okay.
How far it was.
Well, I don't mind telling you if, I guess Councillor Vandal will be the most influential on this, obviously, but since you aren't there, if it's okay with the residents, if that's what we hear, then I can't imagine there's an issue here. That's all I'm saying. So, anyway, that's all.
Anything else we should know?
I don't think so, other than the photographs that I've given you to sort of demonstrate the kind of landscaping that we're trying to produce along that edge of the building.
Yeah, those buildings where the landscaping is done, two buildings are 55 plus. It's adult only. It's not low income rental. It's senior housing for people who can afford to live there. You know, we just want to make see that where the fence would go. It wrong. There's four or five people on each side of the building that would be looking right into that wall.
Well, no, I think if what you say makes some sense, it's just that if the residents, you know, recollect back to the agreement that I think was made and they were to insist upon it, that might be one thing. But if they're suddenly okay with the change, then that's quite enough.
Councillor Swindell.
How many buildings does this affect?
Just the one?
Two buildings?
Yeah. And so the buildings we're looking at here. So this building, well, that's the side, isn't that the side yard of the building? Like the look out here, right?
There are a couple of windows on the end elevation. That end elevation was decreased in height from 3 stories to 2 stories for the first unit to try and downscale the project as well.
Let's hear from the residents.
We're talking about a distance of 140 feet between the building and the property line.
I remember it. I know the distances. We'll listen
hear from the resident. That's important.
Yeah. Now we have one delegation in opposition, Walter Dick.
Oh, boy. He's not.
Hope not. No, I hope not.
No. He didn't sign.
Oh, well, okay. In support. In support. There you go. Okay, you're covered off.
Well, this is easy, both.
Ray Chase, for information. Oh, that was a signature. Ray, welcome.
This is where they constructed a pool hall here, right up against the building. That's the property line.
Want me to start? Okay, you can begin, right?
Good evening, everybody, members of the committee. My name is Ray Shays. I live at 219 Penfold, directly behind the complex. I'm one of the members of the Windsor Park Advisory Committee, which was formed about 2.5 years ago when the project to build the apartment blocks was getting set to start. The committee became the official liaison group to represent the interests of the community between the city and WRE. And incidentally, it was the Riel Committee that had requested that we be the spokespersons for the committee and to be that liaison. And there's a reason why I'm saying all this and leading up to what I have to say tonight. Having said this, I registered tonight to make a submission for information. I say submission because we would like to certain issues that are directly related to this development brought to the committee's attention and recorded in the public record. In recent weeks, our committee put out 2 informational notices to all the residents whose homes border along Dawson Road and which basically face the apartment blocks complex soon to be fenced in. The intention of the notices was to inform the residents about the variance amendment, to move the fence and to seek their opinions on the relocation. Having said this, and before I discuss the results of the feedback, it's important to point out and get on the record the city's or planning department's inability to properly notify the public regarding the variance issues. There were many issues that our group originally raised with the city at the very beginning when WRE wanted to build. One of those very first issues was the city's inability to properly notify the residents. At that time, Mayor Sam Cates was adamant about the Red Tape Commission, and Councillor Franco Magnifico, who was on the Rail Committee at that time, agreed with our information and that this was part of the process of public information that could be greatly improved and should be changed. And he even commented that, yes, some sort of large sign would have been more pertinent for people to read. And I refer you to pictures 1-4 on my handout. Having said this, here we are 2.5 years later, and nothing positive has changed with that process or this process. The pictures I hand you clearly show that there are 3 of the 4 signs that the city erected were cut down and chewed up by a lawnmower, no less perhaps a city worker or workers hired by the city to cut the grass. So how is the public supposed to see these signs? It gets better. Not only were the signs cut down, they were placed on the east side of the apartment block complex along Lajimodia Boulevard, an 80-kilometer zone, and on a bend, no less. Can someone tell us why the city would put up signs on that side where there are no residents, there are no paths or sidewalks, just Lajimodia Boulevard? I refer you to pictures 5 and 6. These pictures clearly show that it was not a good idea to put the public notice signs on a highway. Do you think cars are going to stop, pull over, and read a little 8.5 by 14 piece of paper? Never mind, those notices didn't even have the date of tonight's hearing on them. I also have one to hand to you that someone gave to me, which they found in a ditch by Robin's Donuts. Then there's a larger white sign, picture number 4, that sits right beside WRE's advertisement billboard. It's facing southeast. Only the traffic going north would be able to catch a glimpse of it. And more importantly, who can read a multi-line notice board at 80 kilometers an hour? Why is that sign white and the others yellow? If you look at the wording in the picture number 4, it has errors. It reads, and I quote, public hearing at the Rail Community Committee. What is that supposed to mean? At the Rail Community Committee. The sign also was placed near the construction entrance where no public traffic is. In keeping with good faith, we as a committee have been in touch with Walter Dick on numerous occasions, and it was one of these recent meetings where Walter told us about the white sign. It is our view, and we want it noted in the public record, that only logical conclusion that we can come up with as to why the signs were put in such a stupid location was that it was consciously done so and put in locations where the residents would have the least likelihood of seeing them. Hence, the city has not met its obligation to inform the public. However, by doing so, the planning departments have effectively eliminated the potential for the residents to actually see the notices and, of course, reduce the potential of problems or complaints and hence pass the amendment through without anyone being the wiser just to get the final project completed. This is a fundamental flaw with this process, and the city's Red Tape Commission should look into this practice of evasiveness and somewhat unfair practice of posting public variance notices. I suppose I could ask for an adjournment on tonight's proceedings based on the city's inability to give proper notification to its taxpayers. But having said this, I won't request a rescheduling. However, I would urge Council to investigate the shoddy manner in which this matter has been handled. I know this is not why we're here tonight, so let's get back to the issue of the fence. As this is probably our final role as the Windsor Park Advisory Committee, we sought the feedback of the 31 residents whose homes are along the Dawson Road and basically face the apartment block complex. Although we represent the residents, we cannot honestly state to the committee today that everyone is in agreement or happy with the idea of moving the fence. In fact, the residents that did call all want the fence to be left right where it is, which is approximately 8 feet from the end of the building and 8.5 feet in height as per the original agreement. WRE has done a fine job with the landscaping, but these residents want the nice trees, green space to be on the west side of the fence. It is a much better view for the residents and for the many people that walk the Dawson Trail. In our notices, we suggested to the residents that those who do want to register their objections to do so at tonight's hearing. In addition, there are also a number of residents who favor moving the fence and the remainder who have expressed no opinion one way or the other. We did, however, receive one written letter from a couple who did not attend tonight's hearing because they couldn't make it and asked me if I can read it, and I would like to know if I can read their letter.
Go ahead.
For them.
I have a copy for you as well.
Well, just give us a copy, that's all. We'll
read. Pardon me, gentlemen?
Just give us the copy and we'll read it.
Sure. They're basically totally against the idea of moving the fence and put so in writing.
Well, that's all we need to know, really.
Yeah, that's all we need to know.
The next set of pictures, numbers 7 to 10, show the edge of the building from two directions, where the 8-foot fence is supposed to be, basically where the trees are now. As you can see, the fence would still fit along the existing line, so it can still fit without trees being moved, and the clear, uninhibited view of the nice trees is much more pleasing to the eye than a larger fence for the residents. And as previously stated, the fence was to be 8.5 feet in height and 8 feet off of the building edge. WRE wants a change to a 6-foot fence on top of a berm. One of the biggest concerns is the fence will become a large billboard for taggers, graffiti taggers. What assurances do the residents have from WRE and the city that graffiti will be monitored and steps taken to have it removed immediately? This is one good reason to leave the fence as is and leave it behind the nice row of trees. It would deter these graffiti artists, perhaps because it would be difficult for them to get access to the fence or through the trees, and not only to mention the fact that nobody would see their dirty work. To this end, as I mentioned at the very beginning, we would like a number of things put into the public record tonight that are directly related to the fence around and the surrounding areas, in particular the Dawson Trail. Will the City of Winnipeg ensure that all the changes are adhered to as proposed and accepted? As an example of how the city has failed the process is the issue of the installation of windows at the end of the building. We call it a classic faux pas because it was clear in the original agreement there was not supposed to be any windows in the end buildings. How did it happen that there are now windows at the end of these buildings? Where was the city building inspectors to make sure the WRE was following approved plans and agreements? Regardless of where the fence is put up, will a written agreement between the city and WRE be created so that any and all graffiti on the fences is removed immediately? Will the city ensure WRE repairs the damage done to Dawson Road by all their sub-trades and their heavy equipment by regrading, leveling, and adding some topping? Will the city follow up and ensure Dawson Road is properly barricaded? Will the city ensure WRE erects the cairns that they said they would to mark the historical significance of the Dawson Road Trail? Will the city follow up to make sure that there's proper drainage so that the water is not left standing? For the record, there was no approval, to our knowledge, to allow for a berm to be built in the first place. Now there's standing water at the bottom of the berm on the residence side, I might add. Will the City of Winnipeg make sure that any potential water problems created by the installation of a berm rectified right away and address any drainage issues, particularly if it affects the drainage on the residence side? I would like to add at this point that the city has all but ignored the west side ditch, which there is absolutely no drainage and is one big mosquito trap and is quite an eyesore. Many residents have lived there for many, many years and said they've rarely seen the city look at that problem. This particular piece is becoming worse, and we ask the Rail Committee tonight at least ask their officials to take a look into this problem. I believe the city has a policy on standing water to ensure it's removed, or the city will, and you'd have to pay for it. I suggest that this is another classic case of a double standard, but thanks to WRE, they filled in the old ditch, which is basically a breeding ground for mosquitoes prior to the development. So there should be no double standard, and the city should make sure that whatever is built does not lead to standing water. As it stands now, it seems like almost the entire apartment complex is surrounded by ditches, like a moat around a castle. We don't need any more standing water in the ditches along Dawson Road. Lastly, I ask you to refer to pictures 11 and 12. We would also like to ask, if the relocation of the fence is approved and moved to the property line, if WRE would consider planting some trees on the resident side of the fence to spruce it up and make it appealing. It would also break up the fence and make it more aesthetically pleasing, and so the residents don't have to look at such a long fence along the road. In summary, I am submitting to the Rail Committee to consider leaving the fence as is, but with the understanding that if it was moved, that the city has obligations as well as WRE to ensure that the whole thing is managed properly, and each party have written agreements to do what they are supposed to do. It should also be noted that after final hearings and meetings in 2006, we never heard one word from the city as to changes in the plans and or proposals that WRE wanted over the last couple of years. WRE was the one who stepped forward and was keeping us abreast of things as a courtesy, especially when we were on a public record and was asked by the Rail Committee to represent the residents, that we should have at least been kept informed by the city. In the end, which I heard earlier this evening, we would like a copy of the final decision. And thank you. That's my informational comment. And if you like, I could address some of the comments that David mentioned earlier.
Thank you.
How things got into the agreements, because I was all part of that myself.
Which comments were those?
I'm sorry?
Which comments were you talking about?
How it ended up 8 feet from the building. I believe when we were discussing the pros and cons of the development and it was a pushback deal that we granted at the time. Again, I will agree with Walter. We didn't know where the property line was at that time, but he agreed to push the buildings back to give us that more space in there. So as a result, when it's all surveyed, the buildings are built, now the fence line is 8 feet from the building and an 8.5-foot-high fence.
Okay. Okay, so you're...
There's nothing about 12, sorry.
I just want to reiterate, you're for information. You're not opposed to this.
Not opposed to it, no.
Okay.
But we find ourselves in a difficult situation as a committee because we've only got one written response. We've asked them to put things in writing.
Okay.
Only one person come forward. I've canvassed the houses walking up and down, and half a dozen said, no, we want it left as is. Can you please put it in writing? Nobody did.
Okay.
But they all expressed verbally, and one individual was supposed to be here tonight. He, according to his neighbor, was spitting bullets that he doesn't want the fence moved, but I said you'll have to encourage him to come tonight.
Okay. Thanks, Ray. Any questions?
Quick question. Do you have a sense, Ray, of how far it is from the tree to the beginning, or from the building to the beginning of the berm?
I would say approximately just in 30 feet, from edge of the building to the edge of the berm.
Yeah, like if you wanted to, like, to me, the big issue is having the trees. It sounds like, from what you're saying, the big issue is having the trees on the right side of the, you know, the wall.
Side, yep.
So that the existing residents are looking at trees, not at a blank wall.
Exactly.
So there's more than 8 feet there. Like, it could move, like, 2 feet or 5 feet or more.
Right, that's correct. I'm guessing, of course, Justin, that's about 30 feet from that building to the bottom of the berm. And one of the comments about the berm is that Walter said we're going to keep it 2 feet. Well, it's 2 feet on their side. The property going RC, it's more like 4 feet. Well, that's because the elevation's higher. So one of the issues would be, again, water. Where's the water going to go?
Yeah, it's right? got to have the proper drainage system. But that would be an issue that the planning guys would insist that they have to provide appropriate drainage.
Right.
But I'm just, you know, just because it seems to me like it is, and I remember it well, not that clearly, but it was the visual impact that we were trying to deal with, you know, as well as the barrier.
Right.
But, you know, I think your comments on graffiti are bang on. And, you know, if there was a way to deal with that, you know, I'd certainly be supportive of it. I don't know if there is, but we'll wait, let them come back and listen to what they say, I guess.
Okay. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you very much.
Would the applicants please come back? So you've heard the concerns. Graffiti. How would you handle graffiti?
Probably the same as we handle all ours. I mean, we try and get it off as soon as it goes on. The other issue is I don't see any graffiti right now in that whole area, which is good. So we're assuming that if there's going to be graffiti, it's going to be minimal, and we would get rid of it. There would be no reason for us to leave it on.
Okay. Have you had graffiti since the buildings have gone up?
No, nothing. Never had. I mean, I guess you can ask. You could ask Ray also. I mean, if they haven't had graffiti on their, if they had a lot of it.
But
in the back of the properties of the houses that look onto the right.
Yeah,
have a fence. Not unlike what
we're
talking about anyway. So
yeah, exactly.
If there's graffiti, there's likely graffiti on both sides.
But if there's graffiti on your fence, you're just going to take it off quickly.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we have property all over the city. We don't, graffiti grows. I mean, if you don't take it off, it just keeps growing and growing.
Yeah, like a bad weed.
Yeah.
Any other comments or to what the presentation?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, and I've been through this entire process from step one, there was never any clear understanding that windows were not permitted on the end of the building. All of the drawings submitted to the city did show windows on the end of the building. We're talking about two ends that are 55 feet wide and about 20 feet high with a flat roof. You know, so this is not a massive wall. And that wall is 158 feet from the nearest residence's property line, and then probably another 40 feet back to his residence.
Right. Okay.
We have an 89-foot right-of-way right now that probably begs to be maintained by someone. You know.
Okay. So you're maintaining all of the property now outside of the fenced area?
Outside?
Well, I mean, it's your property, but it's west of the fence, so that's not a problem to maintain, no?
Well, the fence isn't up yet.
The fence is not
up. Oh, the fence is not up. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. Yes, Councilor.
You say that there was windows in the building right from the beginning, including through your plan approval process, I presume? These plans have been submitted for plan approval?
Oh, yeah.
Was the fence submitted for the plan approval as well? Was it part of the plan approval?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the fence has been there since the conclusion of the public meeting. Certainly on all the documentation.
Okay, but now the application is to remove that requirement to build the fence on the property line. Okay. Okay, any other questions? Okay, thank you. I will move the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
Opposed, carried.
Receipt of representations be concluded.
Favor, opposed, carried.